When it comes to hard work, there's one important rule. Pick the right tool for the right job. That's why Chevy offers a family of Silverado pickup trucks designed just for the job. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and put a Silverado in your toolbox.
We're going to speak with Brian Hopkins, the alderman of the 2nd Ward here. Lots to get to, Alderman. Appreciate you coming on with me. How you doing this afternoon?
I'm good, Anna. Thanks for having me.
Before we get to other things, Alderman, I don't know if this is in your ward. It's certainly close. The officer who was shot at North and Sheffield yesterday afternoon, I just want to ask about his condition. Do you know anything about how he's doing?
Yeah, he's, you know, considering he took a bullet to the face, he's doing remarkably well. You know, he's going to have some procedures. There's going to be, you know, some work that needs to be done, but he's fine, you know, and he is hoping, I believe, to return to duty, you know, soon. I know him. He's a good police officer, 23-year veteran, and you know, I worked with him on another issue recently in the community, and he is a police officer that has a good rapport in a neighborhood like ours. And you know, when this happened to him, I knew right away that, you know, it was not a case of excessive force or a police officer escalating a situation rather than de-escalating. You know, the details will come out in the investigation, but I saw what the offender was charged with today, and I think those are appropriate charges given what happened.
Yeah. It started inside a store there, is my understanding, and then did it move out onto the street?
Yes, it did. It moved out into his vehicle, and we're not sure at this point if the weapon was in his vehicle and he went to retrieve it or if he had it on him while he was in the store. But that will all come out in the investigation, which is ongoing. But it did start out as, you know, relatively minor disturbance in the store. And as I said, this officer is not one to escalate. He's one to de-escalate. I know that's his tendency. So I think this is purely on the offender who took it to the next level and decided he was going to attempt to murder a police officer rather than be taken into custody for causing a disturbance in a store.
Well, I'm happy to hear that he's doing well, given the circumstances. And I did see his fellow officers salute him as he was still in wearing his hospital gown, and he was returning, you know, leaving the hospital. So good to see him up and walking, and I'm hoping for the best for him. Sounds like a very good officer. I want to ask you about the major issue going on here with police right now. Yesterday, you saw 19 officers were stripped of their badges. About 40 were brought, I think, to headquarters. They started there. And if you didn't comply with the vax mandate, then they were swiftly relieved of their badges and said, sorry, you can't work as a police officer. A lot of people thought, Alderman, that it would not come to this. Were you in that camp? Did you think it would get here?
You know, well, I think the mayor put herself in that position. You know, she kind of painted herself in a corner here with her public tactics where she couldn't really back down. So if this is just one more thing to try and get the attention of the police officers, it certainly accomplished that. I think she needs to stop immediately. She needs to immediately cease stripping police officers of their police powers and putting them on no pay status, which, by the way, takes their health insurance away, not only from themselves, but from their families. So especially for the ones that are unvaccinated, if one of their, you know, children, for example, gets COVID right now, they're uninsured, you know, because of this action. So it's really unconscionable and excessive. I do not personally believe that there's that many unvaccinated police officers, that the numbers that are throwing around, you know, 4,000, 5,000. I think it's probably more. I think it's under 2,000. It's just my own estimation. I don't really have solid data to back that up. But I think it was exaggerated by the police union as a bargaining tactic. So whatever that number is, it's a low enough number that we could approach this with an incentive rather than punishment. We could offer, you know, a cash bonus or an additional week of vacation or something, you know, anything to convince those remaining police officers who have been holding out that it's time for them to get vaccinated. We could also address the vaccine hesitancy that exists outside of, you know, the political battle. There are still people who are so confused by all of this that they actually do need someone to explain to them that the vaccine is safe, that it works against COVID, that it prevents hospitalization, that there's no evidence of massive changes to your personal DNA, all these other scare tactics that are out there. some people just need extra reassurance. If some of the police officers fall into that category, why aren't we doing that? Why are we threatening to fire them instead of helping them through this process, especially at a time when we need every police officer we have in Chicago right now? We can't afford to fire any of them. We can't afford to put any of them on no-pay status and tell them to stay home. We're actually short police officers in the middle of the worst crime wave of my lifetime.
Address that, because the mayor is saying she doesn't anticipate any disruption in the ability to keep neighborhoods safe. She doesn't think this will be an issue. I don't know how you guarantee that if you're going to be firing 19 officers per day. It seems as if we're down. And I do hear from aldermen like you and many others who have held your hand up and said, we need more police in our ward, or on some weekends when crime is really surging, the calls for service are not answered within the amount of time you might want. So it seems as if that could be an issue.
You're absolutely right. And that's one of the ways we monitor in real time our coverage and how many police officers we have at a given moment. It's the 911 response times. You know, you saw what happened on State Street back in August, where there were two innocent pedestrians walking down State Street, were attacked and beaten senseless for 7 minutes. 7 minutes on State Street. I mean, it doesn't sound like that long, but when you're getting kicked in the head, 7 minutes is an eternity, and that's how long it took for the police to show up after 911 calls, multiple 911 calls, were issued immediately. That is a shortage of police officers. There's no way to hide that. There's no way to deny it. We as aldermen do not really get access to the real-time census numbers of how many police officers are on patrol in a district at any given time. They kind of play a little hide the ball with that, and I understand why, because it's such a political hot potato, and you have all the aldermen fighting to get more police. And every time one alderman gets more, you know, it comes at the expense of another one. So I get why they're not being terribly transparent with those numbers. But despite that, the evidence that we are understaffed in patrol right now is overwhelming. The evidence is clear. And every time someone calls 911 and either a police officer doesn't show up at all in some cases, or shows up 45 minutes later when you needed them right away, there's no other explanation for that. We don't have enough police officers, and we can't afford to start firing otherwise good police officers simply because they won't comply with this vaccination mandate.
Alderman Hopkins, stand by for a second. I want to ask you about the city's approach to crime, the strategies. I know in the last few weeks alone, the police superintendent met before council. You guys asked him a lot of targeted questions. I know it was mostly about budget, but you got into a lot of other things about crime strategies, what's successful, what isn't. I know the mayor has met in recent days with Kim Fox, the Cook County State's attorney, who they have been odds at over policy and strategy. And I just wonder where things sit now in terms of moving forward in this crime environment. Can we just address the crime issue generally speaking? I don't know what you hear from folks in your ward, but I know WGN-TV did a poll recently and asked what's the number one concern on your minds if you're a resident of the city of Chicago, and crime, far and away, above COVID, above everything else, was tops, absolutely tops on the list. And I think everyone's sort of struggling to see what are we doing differently, how are we approaching this now, and why should we feel comfortable that the city is moving in the right direction? What would you say to that?
Yeah, you know, it's a real challenge for law enforcement. You know, what we're seeing right now is a significant increase in violent street crime. You know, carjackings more than double from what they were a couple of years ago. Armed robbery increasing in neighborhoods that never used to see armed robbery on, you know, on the sidewalk. You know, there was a carjacking literally in front of my house 2 days ago. There was a carjacking in front of the governor's house on Astor Street, you know, a couple of weeks ago. So neighborhoods are seeing an increase in the types of crimes that are particularly threatening because there's a randomness to it. You know, all the standard advice about, well, be aware of your surroundings and all that, and that doesn't give you any protection when just literally any moment when you're walking down the street, something can happen like that. And it's causing a lot of stress and anxiety in the neighborhood. That's why that poll that you just cited, I think, is completely accurate. It's on everyone's mind. Every community meeting that I attend, that's the first topic of discussion that people want to talk about. Now, I think the police are doing what they can tactically. You know, when when I talk to lieutenants and sergeants and ranking officers, and they tell me about the adjustments that they're making, trying to respond to this, I really do think they're doing the best they can under impossible circumstances, knowing that so many of these offenders are willing to engage in violence. That example that we just saw yesterday, there was another shooting at police in West Garfield Park the night before. So police are acutely aware of the elevated danger that is present for them every time they try to take someone into custody. It's a more dangerous job than it used to be because society itself is more dangerous than it used to be. We all have to address that. We are really all in this together. And as we watch this happen in our city and in our neighborhoods, we are struggling for answers. You know, it's not something that any of us ever expected to see. A lot of people that I've talked to believe it's a consequence in some ways of the pandemic, since it's happening nationwide. It's not just Chicago who's dealing with this. Mm-hmm. So the pandemic has really changed society, and it's caused an added level of stress. It's caused the social order to start to decay, and it seems to be accelerating rather than slowing down. So clearly, it's the most urgent crisis that we face right now with the ongoing pandemic, and we're just struggling to come up with suitable answers.
Are there anything that has come up that you think there's some hope in this strategy or that strategy or this way of going about it, something different that's happening?
Yeah, you know, the carjacking task force that has been formed is showing some success in bringing repeat offenders into custody. That's the other thing we're seeing, in particular in regards to the armed robberies that are happening in the neighborhoods I represent. It's a small, limited population of offenders that are doing this. And they're doing it over and over again. They're engaging in crime sprees, sometimes, you know, 4 and 5 a night, and then they come back the same or the next night to the same neighborhood. So really catching them, prosecuting them, and incarcerating them is going to solve that part of the problem. You know, until there's consequences, they're going to keep engaging in the behavior that they're engaging in. So it doesn't solve the problem in the long term. Obviously, it doesn't address the root causes and the social injustice that creates an environment where crime breeds. But it does stop the next crime spree from happening, at least in regards to those same offenders that have been engaging in this repeat recidivism behavior time and time again. So that's to your point earlier about the judicial system. You know, they have something to say about this. They have a role to play in returning society to some semblance of safety. And I look forward to that conversation with our state's attorney's office going forward.
Is that going to be, is there a city council thing scheduled? Any conversation that's on the books?
Well, it's an ongoing dialogue. And I think right now there's some of my colleagues who have not really felt that this was an issue that they wanted to engage in directly. They're being pulled into the debate. You know, there's no hiding from this now. We're at the point now where every one of us in government, all of us, especially those in elective office, we're hearing it from all of our constituents. It's coming from all directions. People are demanding answers, and they're not going to stop until they get them. So, you know, we all have a role to play in this. There's a lot of disagreement among what the best course of action is. But that's what democracy is for. We'll go through that disagreement and we'll have the debate in public. But ultimately, right now, every one of us is going to have to stand up and be counted in public life. Really, are you on the side of the police or are you on the side of the criminals? It really comes down to that.
We'll leave it there. Alderman Brian Hopkins, thank you. There's a lot on your plate, a lot on every city leader's plate right now, but thank you for your willingness to always come on and speak openly and keep us up to date on these things. It's important for us to know what's going on. So thank you, sir.
Thanks, Anna.